message in song and how true it is. No one cares for us like Jesus. Amen. All right, this morning I want you to go with me to the book of Luke. We're going to Luke chapter 6 and read some familiar verses right there. And ask you to turn in your Bible with me, if you will. And we appreciate you being here this morning. And as we come to God's Word and to the message today, we pray that you'd focus your attention on it. And let's pray that God will use the Word this morning. Luke chapter 6. Want to talk to you a little bit on the subject this morning, fading foundations. And you will find the word here in the text this morning. Verse 46, the Lord Jesus is speaking. It's a time during his personal ministry. And he's about to teach a crowd something that our crowd today, all of us today, out in radio land as well as here in the building, we need to give some attention to. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now here's a passage that you can read in the other Gospels. You can read where sometime the earth here is called sand, and we know the little thing that we might have learned in Sunday school about building upon the sand, and even have a little song about it and all that. Most of us know what a foundation means. We think about a house. We have a foundation. We don't start building from the roof. We start building from the foundation. Great buildings that you may look like have great foundations under them. They'll not stand, they'll not hold unless they do. And in some cases today, like in some of the places where they're trying to build strong in case of a earthquake or something else, they drill down with pilings in the ground, and they try to go all the way down to hit the bedrock and to really make it strong. And of course, there's a little analogy here. The Lord is talking about building on a rock, and of course, he is the rock. He's the rock of ages, and we can understand that. But we understand a foundation. Foundation can be more than something physical. It can be knowledge. Foundation can be the home life. You and I that had a good home, we had a good foundation. We had good parents, we had good foundation. If those parents took us to the church where we learned the Word of God and learned about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a good foundation. You'll see most lives go back, and they are affected by the foundation they were built upon. Now, I don't mean if you had a faulty foundation, you're ruined for life, but I tell you what, it's a lot better to have a head start with a good foundation. And so the picture here that the Lord Jesus gives us in words here, he's talking about, and he said, "And I'll show you." Notice what he says here at the verse 47, "I will show you to whom he is like." Talking about now the man that hears his sayings. You see, the problem is going to come in the text here and comes in our world today. The big problem is saying, "Lord, Lord," and not doing the things that the Lord says. And you can trace every problem we got today. Ronald Reagan was up at, President Reagan was up at Disney World area somewhere during the time of his presidency. He made the liberals real mad when he said something about the Bible. I think it was prayer day or whatever it was, and he said that book has the answer to all our problems, and the liberals got mad. That book is the foundation. That book is what we need to build on, the sayings of what Jesus said and what the Bible, and in a sense the Bible, all the Bible is his word. All the Bible is the word of God, and we understand that. And so we're talking about foundation, and the picture here that the Lord gives us in the fact of our text is that a man that builds on the right foundation on the rock is going to be blessed, and the foundations that's going to fall are the ones that are not built upon the rock, not built upon his word. And I want to talk to you a little bit about fading foundations, because you see it, you're hearing it, it's in the news this week, it's in the news daily. We look around today and see one of the fading foundations is that of character. Brother, if there's ever been a lack of character showing up in America, it's showing up today. The word character has to do, and you can look at it right here on the communion table. It's talking about something that's engraved deeply, something that's going to be there. Now, you may see a painted sign on the wall out here, and that's okay, but it'll probably fade. But if you carve it into plaster, if you carve it in the wood, it's going to last a lot longer. It's deep. It's real. It's going to stay. It's permanent. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about character. And today, we're missing character. We're missing it on our streets. It amazes me to go down the street and see young people holding their pants up with one hand while they walk down the street. That's a lack of character. I look around today and I see, I could get off into a lot of time-wasting stuff, but you see it everywhere you go, and it spells one thing: no character. Nothing deep, no foundation, nothing lacking. Something is lacking there, nothing lasting. Sad truth is, you see it on our streets. We bemoan, and rightfully so, all of our Americans being killed in war. But you know, we've had more killed on the streets of Chicago than we've had in the Afghanistan war. I'm talking about Americans. I'm talking about 40 this last Memorial Day weekend that they counted shot on the streets of Chicago. By the way, you didn't see Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson up there hollering about it too much either. There's some character missing, folks. I mean, it's showing up everywhere that you want to look. We look around today and we see the ripoffs that are going on, the scams. You better be careful when you answer your phone today. And especially if you're getting on up in years, they figure you're a soft touch and that maybe you saved a nest egg and maybe they can con you out of it. That's what's going on. My phone rings almost every week with a con or scam or something on it, and it happens here at the church office. It happens all around. You know why? They got no character about stealing. They got no character about abusing. They got no character about using somebody else. We've got a character deficit today like we've never seen in America before. The news this week, not only abortions, but now gender is a cause for an abortion, and from the White House down, it seems to be condoned. And while the Congress did bring up a bill, they couldn't pass it to outlaw killing babies over whether or not they're a girl or a boy. Do you get that? Somebody says a war on women. There's a good war on women. Which side is doing that? Amen. It's certainly not the conservatives, the liberal crowd out there. And by the way, that is going to move. Every taboo has been moved. Everything has been moved from what was the right in the old days, and it won't be long before you don't have to get the baby aborted in the womb. You can wait till it's outside, take a look at it, and decide whether there's a flaw in it, and then get rid of it. You say, I'm making that prophecy, because it's already being advocated by some of the high top liberals in the universities already that there ought to be a period of trial after the baby is born, and the parents still ought to have a right to get rid of it if they don't want it. Better be thankful your parents didn't have that attitude. You and I wouldn't be here, amen? But we got a deficit of character today. You got a cry going on in the news today, jobs, jobs. And you know what employers are saying? Send me somebody qualified. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying some of them that come in and apply for a job, they want a check, they don't want to work, and when you get to looking at them and smelling of them, you wouldn't hire them for nothing. Now, if that upsets some of you, you just got in the wrong building today. No, that's what we're seeing today. Sad, sad truth. Fading foundations, slipping away. The fading foundation of our freedoms is going today. You know, our freedom is based on Bible truth. You got an attack on the Word of God today, you got an attack on freedom. That's what it amounts to. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the truth is that we have the truth in God's Word, and when we get away from it, like Jesus said, you can call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. That's a faulty foundation. Fading foundations today. Fading freedoms everywhere we look today. Our freedoms based on the truth of the Word of God. Do you know the Bible is God's truth? Hey, all truth is God's truth. I think about a black man, he was born a slave, but he became a household name. His name is George Washington Carver. And as soon as you say that, you think of what he did with the peanut. He took a peanut and hundreds and hundreds of uses of the peanut. And I thank God for him. I like peanut butter. Amen. Don't know if I could do without it. Better thank George Washington Carver. They brought him up in his latter years after all of his great success. They brought him up to before Congress and they said to him, now we want you to talk to us about what you discovered with the peanut and how you done all that. And they gave him 15 minutes. But when the 15 minutes was up, they begged him for more. And when 30 minutes was up, they begged him for more. And when an hour was up, they begged him to keep talking. And an hour and 45 minutes, he went before Congress. And they asked him, where did you learn so much about a peanut? He said, from an old book I read. They said, what book was that? He said, the Bible. The Bible. They said, does the Bible tell you much about a peanut? He said, no, but it tells me about the one that created the peanut. Amen. Yeah. And he said, all I did was ask him. Isn't that amazing? See, that's our foundation, folks, but that kind of foundation's fading away. It's fading away. Our freedoms are fading away because we've faded away from the Word of God. We've losing our constitutional rights today because that Constitution, that Declaration of Independence over there where it says we are created by a creator, all that we are losing because there's a crowd that hates that today and is getting rid of it. One of our Supreme Court judges was over in Egypt talking to them about their new government. By the way, that's going to be the Muslim Brotherhood that gets in. But she was over there talking to them, and she referred to the fact that they could get a constitution different from ours because we were handicapped by ours in America. That's your liberal on the bench up there. No, you were losing our constitutional rights, property rights. We're into worshiping creature religion today. You hear me say it. It's something I harp on. I can't help it. I can't stand this thing that a turtle or a bird has got more right to your land than you have. Can't handle that business. We could solve the fact when you pull up to the gas pump, brother, you gotta make payments to buy a tank of gas anymore. The sad truth is we would have all we need if it wasn't for that stupid earth-worshipping environmentalist crowd that's keeping us from drilling the own resources that God gave us. Help yourself. Bless God, we're in a mess of losing our constitutional rights. Tax abuse. My. I got something here. Obamacare, by the way, is tax abuse. Freedom abuse. It tells you you're going to buy it, you're going to pay for it, or you're going to be fined if you don't. That's interesting. Never had that happen before in America. I pulled out something here. Now, you see him in the news. His name is Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump's a rich guy. You may not like him, but he's smarter than you. He's rich, and you're not. Amen. I'll read what he said here. And by the way, I'll get to this point in a minute. I may get in trouble for this sermon today, but I'm going to read this anyway. Here's what Donald Trump said. He said, let me get this straight. We're going to be gifted with a health care plan we are forced to purchase and find if we don't, which purportedly covers at least 10 million more people without adding a single new doctor, but provides for 16,000 new IRS agents, written by a committee whose chairman says he doesn't understand it, passed by a Congress that didn't read it, but exempted themselves from it, and signed by a Dumbo president who smokes with funding administered by a treasury chief who didn't pay his taxes, for which we'll be taxed for 4 years before only benefits take effect, by a government which has already bankrupt Social Security and Medicare, all to be overseen by a surgeon general who is obese, and financed by a country that's broke. Now, they claim he wrote that. I don't know where he did or not, but it might be true. Might be true. You say you think you're smart as Donald? Yes, I do. I'm smarter because I know the Bible and he don't. You say, if you're smarter, why aren't you rich? I'm rich. I'm richer than he is. I just put my money in a higher bank than he does. That's all. Amen. But you don't have to necessarily be saved to have common sense. And what I just read you is common sense. Common sense. I like a fellow, and see if I can get it right. I like a fellow that filled out his income tax form this year, and here's what he put on it, where it said dependents. You know, you ever seen one of those things? Claim dependents, amen. Here's what he claimed. He said, the IRS rejected my tax return because of my response to list all dependents. I replied, 12 million illegal immigrants. 42 million unemployable people on food stamps. 2 million people in over 243 prisons. And this is the best one. And 535 fools in the U.S. House and Senate. Common sense, again. But we are losing our freedoms, folks. Because just what Jesus said, we say, Lord, Lord. But we throw his Bible away. Lord, Lord, but we don't obey what he said. We don't listen to what he said. And so our freedoms are fading away. Shouldn't be surprised at that. When you turn from God, that's the price that you pay. We're losing freedom of speech today. It's now got to be judged whether it's politically correct or not. Amen? This week, I just got it on my desk there from a Christian Lawyer Association that we support some. A preacher, Scotty, better watch this now. He just got back off a mission trip. Went over to Uganda and preached for several days. And he let his feelings be known, sort of like I'm doing this morning. And he preached against homosexuality and some of the other bad sins, abortion and things. So when he got back home, the international community now has filed a lawsuit to sue this preacher for hate speech. Now, not the government of Uganda. They're against homosexuality there. They're against the stuff he preached against. But and he's not charged by America, but he's charged by the international law. You see where we're moving to with the treaties from the UN and all? We're bypassing the Constitution, and now we've got American citizens being brought to court, and he will have to go to court over this. They're trying to sue him. See, there's no freedom of speech anymore like it used to be. Now it's got to be qualified according to whether or not it's politically correct. Folks, we're in a mess losing our freedom, whether you know it or not. Free choice? Tell Mayor Bloomberg about free choice. He tells you don't go in now and McDonald's and order a, what is it, double size? What is it? Somebody talk to me. King, I don't know what, king size, something. Supersized, is that the word I'm looking for? Can't do that no more. Can't have the big cup, got to have a little one. Gonna take a lot of police to keep me from refilling the little cup. Amen. Follow me there? Stupid stuff. But that's where we're at. We're losing our freedom of choice in America today. They have plans on the books, and some of us that have been to Russia have seen this in reality. They got plans on the book in America to take an acre of ground and put so many housings on, buildings on it, and the density of housing, so that they'll have at least 20 families on 1 acre of ground. You see what the whole worldwide, one world global plan is to put you in like a bunch of rats up close where they can control everything you do, including your lack of mobility. Amen. Remember Dr. Lee was going down train in Russia, looking out at the old farmlands. In the old days, before communism took over, you'd see the old farmhouse with acres of ground around it. But now into communism, they come into that yard, that acre of yard around that house, and built what looked like almost little doll houses around it. And families moved in, closed in. When we went into what you would call several story apartments, condominiums, only they didn't look like ours here. Cold gray stone like prisons. But we went in, the family we stayed with, and some of the daughters came here and went to our school out of that family. They had an apartment big enough barely for a small family, but two families had to live in it, and you didn't know who the other family was. They were going to move in with you. That's the wonderful product of socialism and communism. Folks, that's what America, there's a crowd got that plan in store for us. Now, that's the truth. Free choice. Shot to pieces. And listen to me. We Americans, bless God, we believe in our Second Amendment rights. We believe in the right to bear arms, but you're not going to keep them much longer if you don't wake up. Do you know that Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security in America, that's not the crowd that fights the foreign wars. That's the crowd that checks up on you and I. That's the crowd that's going to be checking the airports and checking up on us locally. You know that they are stockpiling weapons and tanks? Do you understand that they've got guillotines being stored up? Do you understand why are they massing this great supply of weapons? Because they're expecting civil disobedience in our streets. I know some of you let your breath out. I'll finish up here in a minute. They're planning that. In our big cities. And they're going to create a man-made, artificial crisis to bring it about so they can declare martial law. And if the martial law is declared, your free election is going to be suspended and postponed indefinitely. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying just get your pen and write somewhere in the back of your Bible. Preacher Carter went nuts on Sunday morning, and he said this, and he said this. All right, write it down. Write the date side of it. And then come back and apologize to me when it happens. Amen. Fading foundations, brother. We're seeing them everywhere we look. So I had a lady call me this week and to make sure. In fact, she listens to me on the radio some. I hope she's listening this morning. She called me this week and said, are you aware that they're going to have the transsexuals come to the churches to use the restrooms? Yeah, they're probably going to try that. They tried it in others. Good luck to them here. Hope their hospitalization's paid up personally. You go in there and catch a creature in the woman's room that don't belong in there, throw him out. Oh, bless God. Anyway, one good thing about getting old, you don't fear as much as you used to. And I may lose my freedom of speech, but I'll go down using it, bless God. Amen. Fading foundation of gospel truth is the greatest foundation we're losing. You know, we got a war on biblical values today in our schools. By the way, thank God we win one every now and then. The judge just ruled in the fourth grade class in Massachusetts that they could use the song as it was written, God Bless America, or God Bless the USA. But the liberal crowd had stopped them from using it. They were going to change it, saying we love the USA, but the song says, God Bless the USA. And by the way, the court sided with the songwriter. In the school there, amen. By the way, in Great Britain, they can now ban Christian symbols like the cross or the fish or the Bible. That if they don't have to, you cannot wear that in a public place. They've made that possible now. Isn't that something? In America, they're stopping street preaching, and there's some guys right now going to court cases because they got it on the street and preached. And prayers at town halls, and a lot of town halls and city halls are caving in now to stop praying before the meeting. All that's going on right now. Let me ask you a question. Why is it they fear the gospel? Why is it they fear this book? Stephen said something about it in Sunday school this morning. Do you understand they do fear it? All dictators fear the Bible. All dictators fear freedom. And to fear freedom is to fear the Word of God. Because again, Jesus said, you know the truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. It'll set you free. And a person that knows the Word of God will think different than one that don't. Amen. George Washington, the first president, said, you cannot enslave a Bible reading people. And that's still true. That's why they fear it. That's why they hate it. I say to you right now, if you're here today and you're unsaved, you're listening to me on the radio, you good old redneck lost boy out there, you earn your wages, you sweat every week, you get a paycheck, and I don't doubt that you love your country and you love the freedoms this country's given you. I don't doubt that for a minute. But I want to say something to you. You're fearing the wrong thing. When you ride by Landmark Baptist Church and you fear this church, there's something wrong in your thinking. Listen to me good. If it wasn't for churches like this standing on the Bible and standing on the truth, you wouldn't have the freedom to have that gun over the back seat of that pickup. Amen. You wouldn't have the freedom to stop and spend your own money on a beer and go on down the road. You need to understand, you're fearing the wrong folks. You're fearing the ones that's preserving your liberty. You're fearing the ones that's standing for truth. You're fearing the ones that as soon as this church and freedom of speech and freedom of preaching the Bible is destroyed in this country, your freedom will be gone right behind it, my friend. Right behind it. Now, you ought to be loving this church. You ought to be loving God's people. You ought to be loving God's book. You ought to be loving the Lord Jesus Christ that loved you and died for your sins on the cross. He's the one that you're getting your freedom from. You're not getting it, my friend, from the politicians. They're taking it away. But the Word of God is what's preserving your freedom in America. You know, dictators fear the gospel because it brings freedom. You love your country, you love your freedom. You need to be thanking God for the restraining force, which is the Holy Spirit of God in the saved people of God, represented best by the true churches of God. That's the ones you ought to be appreciating today. We are the restraining. Hey, Satan has a plan for the world. He has a plan for you. He don't mind you cussing and drinking and shooting off your big mouth against God. He don't mind that. He just says you're a fool because you don't know the truth. Because you're not restraining him. It's God's people that's restraining him. It's those that believe the book that's restraining him. Satan has a world plan. It's coming together fast, folks. I said a little bit about it. UN treaties, creating a crisis, bringing martial law, all of that business. What's behind it? One world government, one global plan under one man. We call him the Antichrist. He's Satan incarnate. And this world is shaping up so fast for that till it is unbelievable. I mean, it is amazing the things I'm seeing. If you want to know why they hate Jesus, you go to Daniel chapter 2 and you see where the king had a dream. Nobody else could interpret it, but Daniel interpreted it. And the king dreamed that he saw a great big colossus, a great big image of a man. And it started with a head of gold and breast of arms and silver and on down brass and finally two legs of iron and finally down to the feet. You read it in Daniel chapter 2. And the feet were iron mixed with clay. And that's what that colossus, that image, that man stood on. And Daniel interpreted the dream, telling the king, that's the picture of all the world kingdoms. Let me tell you where you and I live. We don't live in the head of gold. That was Babylon. We don't live in the arms and breast of silver. That was the Medes and Persians. We don't live in the brass section. That was Greece. We don't even live in the time of the two legs, of the iron legs. That was the eastern and western division of Rome. We don't even live there. We live right now in the feet of that image where the toes of iron and clay are put together, but they don't stick. They don't mix. But that's not the rest of the dream. Daniel said, but there was a stone up here in space, in heaven, cut out without hands. And that stone is coming down. And he's going to hit the image on the feet. And he's going to bring the whole thing down. And that stone is Jesus Christ. And he is coming in judgment. He came the first time to die for our sins. He's coming back to judge sin this time. And he's going to bring Satan's whole system down. That's why they hate him. They're scared of him. That's why they fear fellows like me and you that believe the Bible and say something about it. Now, they don't fear you much if you don't say anything about it. But he don't like you and I that'll speak up and tell the truth. I tell you, that's why they hate Jesus, because he's coming back to set up his kingdom. Not Satan's kingdom, his kingdom. And the sad truth is today, we got too many men that think to be a man is to smell bad and talk ugly. No, sir, a real man stands up for Jesus Christ. A real man stands for truth. A real man says, I'm going to receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to raise my family to live for him. And now I'll tell you something. Your real freedom is in him. It's not in something artificial out here that's going to let you down. I've heard some of the guys that think they're bad say, bless God, they'll never get my gun. They'll pry it out of my dead fingers. That's exactly what they'll do. Because you see, they got a bigger gun than you have. You need a little more protection than that. And I'm for your guns and using them right. But at the same time, my hope's not in my gun. It's in my God. Amen. And my God is still in charge. And I've got a job to occupy and to tell the truth and get the truth out. And yes, I would like to. And I want to say to some of you good old lost boys, listen to me. You want to preserve your freedom, not only for you now, but for your kids and for your grandkids to come. Then you ought to get on the side of folks that know the Lord Jesus Christ and know the truth. And are lifting him up. This church is not something you fear. This church wants to see your soul saved. Yes, we do. But wait a minute. We want to see your life saved. We want to see your freedom saved. We want to see you have the freedom to journey to heaven and meet the Lord Jesus. And to preserve the freedom and truth down here is to join up in the Lord's army now. He's going to win when he comes back. I don't know how much worse it's going to get before he comes. I'm amazed it's gotten this bad without him coming. But when he comes, he's the winner. Amen. And I got good news for you. In Christ, you're on the winning side. Amen. Amen. You're on the winning side. I ask you today, do you have him? I'm talking to you out in radio land if you hadn't turned me off, as well as here in the building. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? You thank God for America, you're thanking God for Jesus Christ. It wouldn't be America without him. It would be America without this book, without this truth this book gives. It's my prayer today, you know him as Savior. I'd like to say this to you. Why don't you be a real man for Jesus? Just step out and throw your shoulders back and say, I don't care what my buddies think or who I work with or play with. I don't care what they think. I'm taking a stand for Jesus. Amen. You know, we could turn America around if just the men would do that. If just the men would do that. Don't get up on a stump and holler about what a big man you are when you're ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know why you don't accept him? Your own little fears, that's why. He'll accept you because he died for you. This preacher can't walk the aisle for you. Your daddy, your mama can't get saved for you. It's personal. What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with him? Is he your Savior? I pray he is. If not, he could be before you leave this building today or before you turn off the radio out there. You could stop that truck right now and bow your knee and ask Jesus Christ into your heart. And if you mean it, he'll mean it. And if you'll do that, he'll come in, make a different person out of you and give you courage to replace that fear if you let him. I pray you will. Let's stand here in the building.